So to answer the question, why aren't we having the Arizona Wildflowers every intro? We're not. They're playing for 2 hours at 11. We're trying to not burn them out. So we'll give them a little break here and there, but we will have live music scattered throughout the
broadcast.
They're
over there shopping for trucks is what they're doing. They're going to have such bright careers. They're going to be able to own Raptors and expensive trucks, I'm sure.
Well, I hope so. It's a great great local story out of Casa Grande, Arizona, a family of seven. Four of them currently play in the band. I hear the fifth one, the four-year-old brother, occasionally will come up at the end of a performance.
Kind of like a young Donnie. You're too young to remember. Remember when Donnie Osmond used to come out when the Osmond brothers? And here's Donnie.
I am, but there was another one, Hunter something, that used to come out for Hank Williams. No. Who plays now?
Hunter Hayes.
Hunter Hayes, thank you.
From Brobridge, my hometown.
Yes. and then there's a two-year-old in the family, and they're not sure yet.
Well, probably unavoidable.
I can't imagine growing up in a house like that and not. Yeah. But there's always a black sheep somewhere.
How would you know?
So we've got our final segment here in the Outdoor Living Hour. A ton of questions that have – you know how when you start a conversation, they just snowball. And a lot of questions about lawns and transitionings, a lot of questions about weeds. Somebody's got Bermuda grass growing in a wood pile, and they're trying to figure out how to get rid of the grass out of the wood pile. I think I would just tell them, move the wood pile and then nuke the area if they're trying to get rid of it.
That's probably the best. That probably makes sense. Or take a big sheet of – clear visqueen plastic and just tent the whole,
because you're probably not going to need to burn for
right. Well, it also
months.
It also, if you have any insects in the wood pile, it would kill those too, so you could solarize it. Perhaps if you didn't, I certainly wouldn't be spraying weed killer in on my wood that I might end up putting in my fireplace and burning, but so I probably would either move it or tent it and kind of solarize it.
Solarize it. That Bermuda, once those roots take hold, that's a hard.
Well, it's tough stuff. That's become the issue. You know, of course, there's the whole Roundup issue, that whether the side of the fence you're in on that. But when it comes to Bermuda grass, man, there just are not a whole lot of other ways that are very effective to get rid of it.
Now, the application I'm fighting, we've got the lawn and there's a concrete curb that mm-hmm. contains the lawn. Mm-hmm. Well, the Bermuda grass now is coming out on the other side,
sure.
and growing. You know, the roots mm-hmm. have gone underneath the concrete yep. curb and they're out. Could you hit that with a pesticide without it affecting the lawn on the inside?
What might happen?
How intricate is that root system?
Yeah, it depends. But you might get a little bit of trace back into that, but I don't think it would be that significant.
Okay. It seems to be a good enough survivor that it
exactly. It's going to fill back in pretty fast.
Bermuda grass, it's a love-hate relationship.
And you know, use some common sense when you're spraying, whether it's Roundup or anything. You know, if there's the slightest little breeze, you would be amazed at how far this stuff can drift. You sometimes just do yourself a favor and have somebody spray some stuff and stand back so that the rays of the sunlight are just right and watch how far those little misty particles
drift
and drift. So wear long sleeves, wear long pants. Don't go out there and spray any of this stuff.
And your flip-flops
and your flip-flops and your swim trunks and your muscle shirt, your tank top. Even wear sunglasses or glasses and, you know, cover up. And spray and wash things out good and, you know, be responsible. That's most of the problems we have with most of our issues with pesticides and chemicals are the fact that they've got misused, either mixed too strong, used too frequently, used inappropriately, used on things they shouldn't be used on, wrong time, you know, all of that stuff. Follow the directions and use common sense when you're doing that stuff.
Somebody not paying attention. Oh, this is a 500-gallon water tank, so I'm going to pour in this whole jug. Well, no, that was a 200-gallon tank. He just completely over-concentrated your mix. Now what are you going to do with it?
And we spray it. You know, we're spraying a tree up in the air, and the wind's blowing, it's falling back on us and on our bare skin, those kinds of things. So, you know, even if you're spraying things that are quote-unquote safe to use, soaps and things like that. You know, it's still not good for you to breathe that stuff in and have it fall and make contact with your bare skin. So use common sense, please.
And what are we at? We're kind of in the end of April, planting-wise, for gardening. We're getting close to okra, still not yet.
Well, you can do
getting
okra
getting close
now.
To melons.
I think you can always definitely do melons and okra for sure, squashes, cucumbers, melons. No, it's not too early for any of that stuff. Eggplant is another heat lover. So
you have to like eggplant.
Well, I kind of do. I mean, if it's fixed right, yeah.
You know, that's an acquired taste I have yet to acquire.
Eggplant parmesan's pretty good. So eggplant, squashes, melons, okra. You can't get too hot for that. So
that's the only thing that stays alive in the garden through July at our house.
Basil loves the heat, so there's some herbs you can do.
Herbs, basil.
Rosemary, basil.
Add that to the list. Oh, rosemary's incredible. We've got one that we grew off of a piece that was clipped out of a grandma's farm in California that's still growing in our yard in Whitman.
Yeah.